Now, in studio, two local servant leaders, business owners, and family men committed to empowering San Diego to rise up. Your hosts, Jared Kelly and James Carmody.
This is Rise Up Radio, and we're excited to spend this Friday afternoon with you. I don't think there's traffic anymore in San Diego, and that's a great thing. Friday afternoons, people are heading, planning to head to the beach, and it's nice enough outside that we're involved in the community. James, you've had a great week.
Fantastic week. We are in the final countdown for baby Carmody to come to the world. Actually, 1 week from today. So house is set, nursery set, wife is ready to go. We're excited.
What does James feel about that?
I'm stoked, man. Like I come from a large family back in Boston, and I'm ready to be a dad. I guess I'm ready as I'll ever be. You know, I mean, dads always give you their advice as you talk to them along this journey, and you know they say this or say that, and it's like you really don't know until you know you have a baby in your arms.
And you don't know the gender, correct?
We don't. We're keeping the gender a surprise. Right now, it's baby C. We have a long list of girl names that we're still debating, and a short list of boy names.
Wow. Very exciting time. Great time of year because football season, baby. You're going to get to hold a baby during football season.
Oh, I can't wait. Me and baby C are just going to watch the Pats dominate again.
Anyone that has a newborn baby knows that's a trick. That's not true. You are not going to get to watch football. You're going to not get sleep, but it is one of the best things that will ever happen to you in your life. Speaking of great things, golf.
Golf. I'm terrible, but I have a blast on the course.
What a great time to get away from life. It's like a park that you get to go hit a little tiny ball into a little tiny hole that's 3 football fields away.
Right. You hit a little white ball to lose it, to go find it, to hit it in a little cup.
Yeah.
And we love it.
Yeah.
It's a blast. And I look at golf as a great way to build relationships with people. You know, you spend 4 or 5 hours on a beautiful course outside, getting to know folks at a deep level.
And they sell libations on a golf course,
which is a good thing.
Yeah. So I think that's part of the game. Not necessarily having a beer, a stogie on the course, but it's people. It's a people game. It's a self-regulated game. Another very interesting concept.
Yes, you get to see people's level of integrity on a golf course. You know, is that a gimme or is it not? Were you out of bounds or were you on the edge there?
Yeah, I think that ball has a different number on it than when you started.
I thought you were playing with a Titleist.
So, with all that said, we have the man. We have the San Diego, and he's expanded into Reno, was recently in Washington, D.C., so national, maybe even international golf coach, Mr. Jeff Goldstein. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for spending the time with us. We're excited to dig into your story.
So, Jeff, you're a former touring professional, ball flight coach here in San Diego and Reno, Nevada is the two main locations, but I know you're traveling throughout the U.S. And you currently coach C-level executives, entrepreneurs, business professionals in Southern California and across the U.S. Why that genre and how do you end up, like, does this start in elementary school? It's like, I'm a golfer. I'm going to go play professional golf. I'm going to be one of the best.
Wow. Not necessarily starting out that I think I was going to be one of the best, but I got to be around one of the best. I watched Tiger grow up through junior golf and emulated a lot of his practice regimen in the tournaments that we played against one another. But by the time I was about 13 years old, I knew I wanted to do something in golf for a living, whether it was being a top 100 player in the world or at some point integrating golf with business. And I turned pro at 22, right out of college, and went to Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia.
Great school.
Our basketball team's finally better now over the past 10 years, but we just lost our second coach. But nonetheless, that's a whole different conversation. You know, I always felt business and golf were kind of interrelated. And when I would play in pro-ams throughout the country, I'd meet a lot of CEOs, CFOs, business professionals like you guys here, and you get to learn a lot about them on their golf course, their background, why did they choose a certain profession. And I just felt that giving them a couple of tips that they would take away was always something I was comfortable with. And over time, the past 5 years, I've kind of immersed myself in that niche specifically because I think a lot of high-level guys like yourself, executives, and women as well, that they're missing out on opportunities to do business on the golf course because their anxiety is through the roof. Their inhibitions are super high. They don't want to hit houses at the bridges when they play golf, when money's on the line, that they've got an investment deal. And by the way, these are all real stories that I'm sharing with you. These are my clients sharing their fears. And I've got two of my clients playing in the Jewel over at La Jolla Country Club yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And they are nervous as ever. These are successful business owners that run multi-million dollar companies, and they're nervous about hitting a golf ball in front of other people.
Wow.
So that's kind of where I come in.
I played in high school and a year in college. And when you get the draw to be the first person to hit out of the whole tournament, like, it is the most nerve. And my junior year, I was in sectionals, and I can remember I duffed my first drive. Just was so nervous that I couldn't hit it, and ended up actually playing pretty well because I think I just got it out of the way. But it is, I mean, it's not a huge stadium, but there's two or three people that you have to walk with or ride with for 4 to 5 hours.
Sure.
That are starting to judge you, right? So, you know, at 13, you get on the tour at 22. How do you transition into being a professional coach, and is it golf or is there other thing? I think this guy, I want to call him coach. Just, well, first of all, let's get into, why do you spell your name so weird? G-E-O-F-F Jeff.
Yeah. My mom Elaine wanted to make it difficult being a kid. You know, I was called from Geoff to Goofer to Godfrey to Gregory. It was everything around Jeffrey, but my mom just wanted to be different. It's an English spelling.
Yeah. Well, I think you're very a prestigious person, so why not give you a prestigious name?
That's our royalty.
Right? Royalty, right? Yeah. So, that's how they would spell it. So that's how you need to. So, just your outlook on life, and I would love for you to share just a little bit of your story, and in your career, and also just your life story on how did Jeff end up to where you are today?
Wow. Well, I turned pro at 22, and let me just clarify, being on the tour, so to speak, I never made it to the big show where you see the guys on television right now at the PGA Championship, but I played every mini tour known to mankind in the United States. And the best way that I equate it is I spent $500,000 to make $300,000. So not the best investment that could possibly be looked upon, as previous sponsors would say. But I always felt that golf was something that I could either do for a living or now coach for a living. And what you see on television right now, the people that I played against, Tiger and some of the other folks growing up, I wasn't ready to birdie one out of every three holes the rest of my life. And there was a certain point in time that I just realized that these guys are really good. Those commercials are true.
Yeah.
These guys are really, 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 really good. And I've shot some great scores. I've shot 59 a couple times throughout a couple courses. But at the end of the day, that's client golf. That's not under the most intense pressure around. And it's just something that I always wanted to be moving away from the playing aspect of it and getting into helping other people play better. Mm.
And so when you were, you know, you're, it starts out casually. You're playing with guys and, you know, hey, have you thought about doing this? Or, you know, you start to actually give them some pointers. At what point did you decide, like, hey, I'm really comfortable, you know, offering this advice and I'm good with people. I can listen for what's going on with them mentally and, mm-hmm. and see physically the result. Maybe I'm onto something here. When did you start to notice that? Really say, maybe I'd like to do this as a business.
Yeah, I would say probably the end of 2012. That was when I really started being around some folks that wanted to play better golf, especially in the business world. I'm under the guise that if you are seeking golf instruction, you should be able to take something in real time. Like when we played together, you should take it in real time and be able to apply it. So that's as a coach, there it's one thing to explain knowledge, and it's another thing to actually give someone confidence, but give them the tools when coach isn't there. What are they doing in their own money games and their own client events that they're doing?
Yeah.
So that's where it was in real time. I truly feel that that's a benefit in being around someone for the first time.
I think Jeff has the ability just to ask a question, why? And in a very appropriate way, like, why'd you pick that club? And it's like, I don't know. It has a one on it.
I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of guessing.
Or I'm close to the green, so I pulled out my most lofted club. And I think that as... Even I played nine holes with Jeff. And I was like, is there a better way to do this? And I think that translates into life sometimes too. That we see Tiger Woods on TV. We see these other things on TV and say, when I get to this point in my life, it's going to look like this. When I get close to the green, it's going to look like this. And that's not true, right? So you talk about golf IQ, but maybe let's transition that language a little bit to, I think you're teaching life IQ and you just get to do it through a golf club.
It's a great analogy. I like that life IQ that I'm going to put that one in my pocket as we leave here. You're right. It's very interesting that a lot of what I coach in golf translates to life. I think it translates into business as well, that high level executives run a business a certain way. It's not all of a sudden they decide one month they want to have a bad sales month. No, you guys are trying to do the best that you can. And likewise on the golf course, you don't make a decision in real time to, hey, I'm going to go make a quadruple bogey right now. No, I'm going to go out there and do the best that I can. And maybe it's not choosing the driver on, you know, the first tee box. Maybe it's choosing a rescue or something that's going to give you an opportunity to the widest part of the fairway. Or I just remember when we were out playing that one morning, I had you hitting to different quadrants of the green where maybe it was something you weren't necessarily thinking, you know, less risk, maybe a little, you know, less reward, but it put you in an opportunity to convert.
Yeah. And what a great even word. How are we converting in life and how are we being intentional so that we can convert? And are we throwing spaghetti on the wall and just hoping it sticks? Or are we really going through not only life, but even the golf course with intentionality? And I think that's a really cool piece. Yeah, we can score, but maybe we can also build on a relationship or realize we have 4 hours sitting in a cart. What do we want the end result of this to be? Right. So,
I think that's a great question to ask ourselves is, are you being intentional? You know, are you being intentional in your personal and your professional life, or are you just kind of floating along? Without intentionality, you're not going to produce the desired result.
And sometimes life is intentional for you and you don't have the decision.
Sure.
It makes decisions. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back into a part in Jeff's life where life made the decision for him and how he ended up back in San Diego. Stay tuned. This is Rise Up Radio, SDRiseUp.com.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Welcome back. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. You're following us at SDRiseUp.com. Thank you so much for being here with us in studio. We have Jeff Goldstein, and Jeff is a fantastic guy. He is an executive golf coach and has had, you know, quite a journey to get to where he is. And Jeff, one of the things we were starting, you know, to discuss is, you know, you had, you know, a pretty big life event several years back, and it started to shape really your view of life and what you wanted to do with your life. Can you share a little bit with our listeners about that?
Yeah, happy to. you know, life throws you some speed bumps and you have to deal with what comes at you. But Memorial Day of 2013, I had resting heart rate of about 168 going into the emergency room in Reno, Nevada. And they call it cardiomyopathy, which causes the heart to swell. And I went into atrial fibrillation and intubated into the hospital ICU for 11 days and was released out to general population for another 6 days. And really got a sense of what is life all about and had to start over again. When you get knocked down to the ground, you realize that at some point you got to dust yourself off and get back up. So I had some time to think about what I wanted to do moving forward and came back to San Diego. And I think it was July 23rd of 2013 with $50 in my pocket and had to start over again.
How many times have we heard that the bottom is the light, right? And I think that's just an interesting paradox that sometimes you have to find the floor to be able to get past the ceiling that you thought was there, and sometimes you just get thrown into a whole different game.
Yeah, you know, God has a way of reminding us that we're not in control, and sometimes we need to be, you know, something needs to happen in order to remind us, okay, why are we here and what are we doing? So you come back to San Diego, $50 in your pocket, then what?
Yeah, I had to assess where I was going to move forward. But my now wife, Karen, was kind enough to help me along the way. And I had some other folks in my network that were really integral in letting me borrow a car and just getting from point A to get myself situated. And in, I think it was October of 2013, Mike Hodges is his name. He used to be the president and COO of the UT here in San Diego back at that time frame. And Mike was kind enough to offer me a job to come work in the advertising space. And I got a chance to start playing more golf with Mike. And at some point, I was giving him a few tips when we were out playing. And he said, have you ever thought about coaching executives like myself out on the golf course? And I kind of dawned on me and I said, well, that's kind of cool. Yeah. Why don't we do that? And actually he became my first ever C-level, COO client, so to speak, that I started working with back then.
Great story. And 4 or 5 years later, you're at a point where you're using some of the most cutting edge technology to not only help people with their game, but show them different things in their game they've never even seen before. So again, Goldstein Golf, the stuff that Jeff does on the course, it's life IQ. I know he just coined this, but it's also golf IQ and looking at different. Let's dig into this technology and why it's important and how you've integrated that into your coaching.
Sure. I think in the technology world, we should be taking advantage of what's out there. And, you know, I didn't grow up in the YouTube generation, but lots of golfers now, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, those are all YouTube golfers who saw it in real time. But the TrackMan technology, I have the TrackMan 4, which every player that you see on television right now, from Brooks Koepka to Rory McIlroy to, Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson, they all have the similar technology. And I equate it to when we were kids watching The Wizard of Oz for the first time. You got through the entire movie, and at a certain point, you saw the guy behind the curtain running the show. And you went, wow, that's the magic behind the curtain. Well, that's what TrackMan is. TrackMan is giving us the ability to see behind the curtain, the magic show, let's call it, what's under the hood, why the golf ball is curving, what components make a golf ball travel as far as it does or curve as far offline as it does, as we all have experienced, and how to reverse engineer that as a ball flight coach to help our clients understand moving forward, how can they play better golf in real time.
And the TrackMan is a very unique tool because it's not like you're going into this batting cage style environment. You can do this live on the course.
100%. I had it on the course this morning for one of my playing lessons. It's sitting right behind me. It's the size of a laptop computer and it's also $27,000. So it's an expensive laptop computer in my golf cart.
Yeah. And so imagine having a golf coach that can talk to you and tell you things in person, Jeff, and then a little computer that can generate and spit out stats. And Jeff knows how to say, hey, tweak this a little bit, do this thing a little bit. And all of a sudden, your whole game is changing.
Before your eyes, it's changing. On different swings, back to back, you can change them. And it's one thing to know the cause and effect relationship when a coach is standing there. It's another thing for you as play, you guys are both golfers, that you as players, you're now thinking about club head speed and the club face. Why'd the golf ball start 8 yards left of the flag and go in the front left bunker? Well, that's related to where the ball was struck on the club face. The club face is the boss. That's how I like to refer to it.
And I think a unique parallel that we could probably just, that most people probably heard of is when you're trying to lose weight, you have like this optimal heart rate, right? So if you said, I'm going to go out and run a mile and you're going to sprint the whole thing, like you go into a different form of aerobic exercise, right? So you're doing the same thing with the track, man. It's like, what is the bell curve and what's the optimal club head speed, which is crazy that we can be out on hole 7 at Barona and know what club head speed we need for maybe even that hole or the type of swing. And that looks completely different than saying, I hit a draw. Right. I hit this. It's a totally different mindset and totally different IQ that you're able to have on the course. Mm-hmm. So let's dig into maybe some stories or how you're either using the TrackMan or just examples of, you know, getting a CEO, getting a COO, getting maybe even a CFO on a golf course and saying, hey, let's talk about life. Let's talk about your game a little bit. So maybe let's dig into a little bit of either of those stories and just what that looks like for Goldstein Golf and a different style of golf coaching.
Well, I feel that when you have high-end technology and you're around very high, you know, their business acumen's through the roof, and as a coach, we're trying to raise their golf acumen or their golf IQ, I feel that them seeing the data in real time, understanding why 100-mile-an-hour club head speed is going to do, it's going to relate to a carry distance or a total distance, like you're talking about number 7 at Barona's a par 3. But number 8, let's just say that we had TrackMan on that specific hole, we can actually understand at 105 miles an hour at center contact, the golf ball is going to add 12 to 15 more yards. So now that executive can see in real time what the difference is between carrying a bunker and being in trouble off the tee or being in the center of the fairway that they got that extra distance from.
I'm going to relate this just to life because I feel that what you said and from a golf standpoint makes a lot of sense. But how many times in life have we charged ahead or not just stepped back and reflected on where we're at and what we're doing and ended up in that bunker? Just we knew it was there. Plain as day, there's sand in the middle of grass. Like, the beach is not at Barona. I can promise you that.
It's true. They got a few beaches out there. They got lots of bunkers.
Yeah. Well, but that's not where you're supposed to be in the sand, right? So,
correct.
I think if we kind of know, like, hey, maybe this isn't the time to charge ahead, and that's what you're saying in the golf game is, well, let's do these little tweaks and these little things, and let's know how to appropriately do those. And that's life IQ. And you're turning the game of golf into a way to coach. And maybe people aren't making this parallel all the time, but it's really true. It's true that golf is it's a self-governed game.
Sure.
You can choose to write down any score you want. You can choose to practice or do as much as you want. And your first time out, I promise you, you're not going to be a good golfer, right?
Well, to get the money from your buddies, the right score usually is the one that's going to get you the money. So let's clarify that for a second. Yeah. They're not going to pay out money when you have a big eraser on your pencil.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
So let's talk about, again, TrackMan's a great technology. What does this look like for Goldstein Golf, your TrackMan events? How are you using this to be part of the community, and what does that look like for you?
Sure. You know, I love being around like-minded professionals that want to get better at golf. And we're now using TrackMan as a tool. I don't think it's the ultimate. As a coach, you still have to help your players get better. But when we've built out these client appreciation clinics, when I was in, like you mentioned, Washington, D.C., with a lot of business professionals, it's them being able to then use that data for their own golf game, but also talk about creating their own client appreciation event where they can hire us to come in for half a day, a full day, and have, again, TrackMan is a focal point. It's not the entire focus of the experience.
So using technology to create an experience, but everything comes back to relationships, right? So not only are you teaching financial planners how to better their game in golf, you're teaching them how to better their game in life and in their business. So you're doing these in travel getaways across the U.S. Reno is probably one of those big mm-hmm. places that you can, it's not too far from San Diego, but it's far sure. enough away that you have to go there.
Sure. Right,
and get away. TrackMan's a tool. If I want to get involved, if I'm a C-level person, I say, I want to do this for my team or I need to do this for myself. How do we get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, easiest way, you know, goldsteingolf.com is a great resource. It talks a lot about TrackMan, but as well as our getaway trips that we do have. And I know you're having a baby, James, but some of my clients actually do like to get away for 3 or 4 days and maybe the kids stay at home with the wife and they get a chance to play better golf, maybe roll some dice up in Reno where gambling's allowed or do any of those things that they tend to do out of town. But yeah, that's something that we're starting to do these in more spots throughout the country as well.
Awesome. So if you need a golf coach that can translate the TrackMan experience, again, this is the cutting edge number one thing. This is what the PGA Tour, the best people are using to better their game and to control their golf game, paralleled with the best coach in San Diego and across Southern California and now across the United States. It's Goldstein Golf, Jeff Goldstein. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
I truly appreciate you guys having me and sharing some ideas. And at some point, we're going to get back out on the golf course with you two. And we're going to take TrackMan and give you the real-time data as well.
Awesome.
Yes, Lord knows I could use it.
Thank you so much. This is Rise Up Radio, striseup.com. When we come back, we have another special guest, Brad Pregano, and Goldstein Golf is helping them put on a golf tournament. Amazing parallel, but we're going to dig into the San Diego Financial Literacy Center and why that's important and why we need to be part of our community and what's happening. This is Rise Up Radio, striseup.com.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Jared Kelly here, co-host of Rise Up Radio and the Rise Up Movement. We are having an amazing journey and just trying to hold on to this movement, but we need you to be a part of this. If you would like to sponsor what's happening on air and in the community with the Rise Up Movement, visit us at sdriseup.com. Let's rise up together and understand it is our job to maintain America's finest city. Visit us at sdriseup.com. That's sdriseup.com. Jared Kelly here, founder of Mission Realty Group. As you have heard me say thousands of times, we must be part of the community that we live in. I've had the privilege of using our company to do just that. It is our goal to not only help people make informed and excellent decisions when buying and selling a home, but to really understand your goals and needs. Yes, for some people, their house is just a roof to live under. But for others, it is a home where you are raising a family, entertaining friends, and a place to get away from the hustle of life. Let me ask you this. Is your home right for your family? When is the last time you even thought about this? Let us use our exclusive process to help you understand where the market is going. And if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, let's have a conversation today. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and we would love to connect with you and make a plan. Again, that's missionrealtygroup.com. That's missionrealtygroup.com. Hit the contact tab, and let's make a plan so you can win.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Welcome back. This is Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com. We just had an amazing conversation with Jeff Goldstein, using golf to be part of the community, helping organizations with golf scrambles and other events to just to further promote and be a little carrot and a stick in the golf scramble too, of having a professional golf player there. So they happen to be doing that for another amazing organization, the San Diego Financial Literacy Center. And we would love to continue the conversation of life IQ. We talked about that, how to translate golf IQ into life IQ, and what a great place to start with financial literacy. We know a lot of things happen, a lot of bad things happen when people don't have their financial space in order. Number one, divorce rate. Number one, reasons for people making decisions they shouldn't make. So Brad Pregana, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you very much for having me.
How does one say, I'm the guy that's going to tackle this problem? And you guys are specifically in the military space.
Well, we serve three constituent bases. The military, which is essentially active, veteran, transitioning, spouses, regardless of your discharge status, will work with you. We also work with LMI, low to moderate income, and we work in the schools. But a lot of our work is done in the military space with DOD, Navy Region Southwest, on the Marine bases. We go all the way up to Port Hueneme in Ventura County. We work with the Guard. We've had instances and opportunities potentially to go out to Fallon. So our goal is to help our military personnel keep more of the money they make and be smart with their decisions, and so that their future is much more bright than it may be right now.
How did you end up being the guy that tackles this problem?
My brother was a Bravo 111 Marine. He's a Beastmaster, so he used to fire artillery shells at people. When he came back from his Westpac, he was actually on the Westpac when the towers came down. And when he came back from his Westpac, he was immediately redeployed. And he was deployed, I think, 4 times in 5 years. And upon coming back one time, he was broke. And a couple of his platoon mates were broke. And I'm like, how is that possible? You're not spending any money. Long story short, they had made very poor decisions on how to handle their finances at home, put the wrong people in charge, invested improperly, were taken to the cleaners by some charlatans. And I essentially moved out here and had 6 Marines living with me in a condo and became their personal financial advisors. And then I said, one day I'm going to do something about this. And that one day was in 2013. And then in 2014, the doors at the Financial Literacy Center opened.
And you guys are all across San Diego County with multiple locations, correct?
Yeah, we have our headquarters is in Kearny Mesa. We're co-located at the Military Veteran Resource Centers, which is part of the Live Well Initiative through the County of San Diego, at both their Escondido and their National City location. We have an office in a Military Entrepreneur Development Center, which is with the Rosie Network and their Services CEO program. And we're licensed to conduct education and debt management programs in 47 of the 50 states.
Wow. And if you haven't been out, this is a plug for the Live Well Centers.
Yes.
If you haven't been to the Live Well Centers in San Diego County, they are an amazing resource, and the county wants you to use these buildings.
Yeah, Nick Macchione and his team have done a wonderful job. They're actually leading the way. They are a beacon, a shining example and a beacon of light for the United States. And a lot of the HHSA directors look to Nick and his team on how to build these out across the state and across the nation. But a big shout out to Will Quintong, who is the director of the Office of Military Veteran Affairs. And his work, along with Chris Gunn and Tim Matthews and all the organizations that partner up, to make it a very robust and comprehensive place for people in the military to go, to get action, to get information. And it's a one-stop shop, everything from finance to legal to education to employment to benefits to VA to whatever it is. You can go there and you can educate and empower yourself to make a smart decision, whether it's with your money, whether it's going back to school, or how to get a job, and especially for those that are transitioning out, great place to go and learn and get some data that's going to help you make the right decision.
And again, it's a beautiful facility, but also the people, and you spoke to a lot of those people, they care.
Yeah.
And what a great job of the San Diego Financial Literacy Center of co-inhabiting that space of being part of the solution with the county. Sometimes it's not always easy to deal with the higher ups and understand direction, but you guys have done an amazing job of setting the bar and saying we are a resource and we are a tool that people, real people mm-hmm. that have problems or just want to better themselves can mm-hmm. use.
And I think the key is, and what most of the people and most of the service providers and organizations as part of the Sea of Goodwill, we want to move into that preventative space. Reacting to an issue is what we're good at, but it's much easier to prevent something from happening. The old adage of putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound, that's really what a lot of people are doing when they're visiting these centers. They're not coming to us and saying, hey, I'm thinking about buying a car. Does it fit within my spending plan? Hey, I'm thinking about buying a house. Did this work? There's a difference between buying something and affording something. So again, we use personal finance through a behavioral economic lens, and we use that. And again, with our collaborative partners, we have over 200 collaborative partners in the county. So you can come to us as kind of a hub and spoke deal where we can help you outreach once we have your finances dialed in, how to become an entrepreneur, how to buy a home, how to buy a car, how to assimilate back into society, what pathways you need to go to get this degree in order to get a sustainable job, which is going to be able to allow you to afford where you want to live. So there's a lot of things that can be done, not only by our organization, but by the myriad organizations that are here in San Diego County. And with the resources like Rise Up Radio, you know, it allows us to get our message out and share all the good things that we're doing and let people know that, hey, we're here. We're not going to throw ourselves on top of you and say, hey, come get involved with our program. We're a ready-made resource when you're ready to have it.
And it's really important to understand that what a ready-made resource is, but it's also important to understand that it's okay to make mistakes and you have to come as you are. Mm-hmm. And if you're that person that is making reactive decisions, just recognize where you're at. Let's start to be self-aware and share your story. I mean, I think that's a really important piece that we forget to do sometimes.
Well, again, behavioral economics will tell us that the most difficult person to be honest with is the person you look at in the mirror every morning. So when it comes to personal finance, most people, you're either an ostrich or a lion. You either put your head in the sand and hope that anything works out, or you attack it. We advocate being a lion because you are the CEO of self. You're the only person that can handle the issues that lie in front of you, and you're the only one that knows how you got there. It's not like we're shrinks or psychiatrists or we're forensic, you know, analyzers. We need you to be open and honest and transparent if you seek our advice and our assistance. And that is the best way for us to then go out and put together the comprehensive package of personal financial education, employment opportunities, educational opportunities. And most importantly, the foundation is, you know, home ownership, because once you own a home, it really generates an opportunity for you to thrive long term, because the average net worth of a homeowner is about $200K. The average net worth of a renter is about $5K. So right there, you know, we advocate for people to be smart with their money and get more money in their pocket and put less money out to taxes and to other things. So we want people to be able to, again, keep more of the money they make and be able to enjoy themselves both now and in the future.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir on the homeownership piece. Yeah, you know our day jobs. But
yeah.
Let's unpack the ostrich and the lion a little bit.
No problem.
Because I think that's an important... There's tangible things that maybe we don't always realize that we're being an ostrich in, or there's tangible things that we can do to be a lion mm-hmm. that may be super simple, but we're just forgetting to do those things, or we're doing them and you need to be honored. If you're keeping a budget and you're doing that every single month, you're a lion and you should feel good about that.
Right. Well, your budget's really what you can afford. So we say, what can you afford? What are you spending? Greater than or equal to zero, you're being a lion. Less than zero, you're being an ostrich. Our financial acumen is based on our environment and experience, no doubt. So there are people that have expenses in their daily life and in their family's life that they've always had. Well, why do you have that? Well, I've always had that. They can't tell you why they have it or why they need it. Or you have people that don't make a lot of money but are out there trying to live like they see on television. So you're constantly in that battle. A lot of what we determine to be ostriches is they've made a mistake. They don't want to look at it. Something will figure itself out. It's also a pride thing. A lot of people in the military don't want to admit the mistake. So it's very challenging. And that was the issue with my brother. He didn't want to be seen going into base legal, or be seen going into the FRO, or be seen going into the command financial specialist, because he'd get clowned by his buddies. And then he'd have to deal with that on top of being broke, on top of being this, and it builds and it builds. And when you're in the state that we were in 10 years ago, when the operational activity is ratcheted up, you got to worry about two things. You got to worry about surviving at your day job, and you got to worry about surviving at your night job, which is being, essentially a civilian. But financial readiness impacts mission readiness. And that's true whether you're in the military or not. So you can consider your mission to be whatever it is. But if you're afraid to look at your finances because of a mistake, or you don't understand how interest works, or you've made bad decisions in the past which are impacting your credit score, you very quickly become an ostrich, and it's money in, money out. And you get that more month than money syndrome, where you get paid and then there's not enough, and then you make other decisions and you keep burying your head and burying your head. Well, eventually you'll suffocate. A lion just takes it head on. You might get beat. You might get beat up by a bigger lion. You might get jumped by a bunch of lions, whatever analogous thing you want to make it. But essentially, you have to be the person that attacks your finances. And once you do that, you'll understand where you're strong and where you're weak. And then that's where my organization and the other organizations can help you formulate that battle plan, so to speak, to become better and smarter with your money.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, folks, we need to let go of this idea or this vision of we have to be this way, or things need to look a certain way. Maybe you blew off a credit card, or you fell behind on a house payment or a car payment, whatever. Stop beating yourself up like you're the devil or you're the boogeyman. You made a mistake, or you made a misstep. You need to acknowledge it and get back on track and be the lion.
Yeah,
because absolutely. If we continue to ignore stuff and put our head in the sand, it's only going to compound.
Right, and lions will attack the ostrich. And if your head's in the sand, you're easy prey. And there's a saying that you learn when you go through behavioral economics, is that we're a nation of individuals that buy things with money we don't have to impress people who really don't care.
It's crazy. Crazy.
And I look around my office and my house and I go, why do I even have that anymore? But again, some of us go, well, I might need that. It's part of the way your environment and experience. So we look at it like there's a lot of ways that you have to go after it. And the first step is being honest with yourself, admitting that something's up, whether it's a small thing, because most people live right on that edge, that razor thin edge. In one misstep, a blown tire, a blown radiator, an AC goes out, kid falls off the jungle gym and you don't have the right insurance, everything's out of whack. We're not here to judge why it's out of whack. We're here to get it back into shape and then help you become the lion that you need to be and attack your finances. And again, what it really boils down to, you need to be the CEO of self. You need to take control and responsibility for all your actions, because every goal you set is going to have a financial backing to it, whether it's retirement, buying a home, buying a car, going on vacation, going to school, getting married. Everything's got money tied to it. Nothing in this world is free.
I love that. I mean, the CEO of self is such a great and simple, easy kind of paradigm to look through and live your life through. And it's just about being responsible and not being reactive, which, as you said earlier, we're so great. We're experts at being reactive. But if you actually be responsible and do a little bit of proper planning beforehand around your finances, things happen with ease. They happen simply. And you're way, way much more powerful and effective versus being reactive and at the effect of things.
And you get around a community, a pride, literally and figuratively. You can have some pride, but you're pride of lions, and you start to hang around some people that are doing that, and they see that you can not only benefit them and maybe help give advice or do other things. And I think that's the best thing that can happen when you turn into a lion, or you see yourself as a lion, and you start making decisions, and then you have a responsibility to help the next guy in line. And I think you guys do a great job of doing that, because you're volunteer based. You're not saying we're going to do everything at the San Diego Financial Literacy Center.
Right. Well, really, we boil it down to, again, and I do a lot of reading, the book Good to Great. You got to be your hedgehog. You can't be great at everything. You got to find a couple, two, three things you're great at. We're really good at providing education. We're really good at partnering up with the right people, and we're really good at providing resources. If you can find an organization or a group of people or a pride that can get you educated, can surround you with other like-minded individuals and go in the same direction and get you resources to help you succeed, you can do that in any instance of your life, but especially in finances, you're going to have a much more higher success rate.
Awesome. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to dig into the actual programs and some of the ways that just you driving your car, you're sitting on your couch. If you're listening to this, there's a way for you to be involved, and we're going to dig into those opportunities and how from either a coach, a volunteer, or someone that needs to participate in the program. Stay tuned. This is Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego is expensive. San Diego is a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question why. I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Back, folks. Happy Friday. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. We have had a fantastic show, and we're starting to unpack financial literacy in the bottom line, being responsible. And the question is, are you a lion around your finances, or are you an ostrich? Are you taking responsibility? Are you taking charge? Or are you ignoring things and wishing and hoping that they get better? Let's unpack that more, Jared. And I know we were starting to dig into what is their process and some of the programs that are offered by the Financial Literacy Center.
Yeah. And we've touched on an interesting behavioral economics. And so our guest, Brad Pagano, let's dig into just defining that a little bit. What is behavioral economics? What does that mean?
So it's the way, essentially it's the way people act around money, and everybody's going to act a little bit differently. It's got socioeconomic, it's got psychoeconomic, and there's a lot of different ways that look at it. So based on a lot of, again, environment and experience, there's really only four types of people in this world: spenders, savers, builders, and givers. Builders are the Bill Gates, the Oprahs. We're not living in that space. Givers are people that get their money, pay their bills, and give every last dime to the community, whether it's to the church or to organizations. They're very altruistic, but they have nothing in reserve. And then spenders or savers are pretty much self-explanatory. So behavioral economics teaches us that in order to really be a holistic person to come to finance, you got to live in the middle. You got to spend some to enjoy life. You got to save some just in case. You got to give some because that's the right thing to do. And if you have the ability, you need to build, and you got to build your community. And you can do that without money. That's the time, talent, or treasure. So the thing we really advocate through behavioral economics is spending, saving, and giving. Those are the three ways that we want to attack our behavioral economics. And we want people to find out what their money-tude or their attitude is, and try to figure out if it's a strength and it's helping them become a lion, or if it's a weakness and it's preventing them from becoming a lion.
So let's dig into some of those programs that the Financial Literacy Center offers for people to discover their behavioral economics.
So we have three programs: Boost for Our Heroes, which is military, Wave of the Future, which is our youth, and then Smart with Your Money, which is basically our foundation program, which is what everything is based off of. But for today's conversation, I'll kind of focus more on the Boost for Our Heroes, which is essentially a program designed for military personnel to help them understand where they are and where they want to be. It's designed to provide them with workshops, seminars, and confidential and comprehensive and complimentary. The key word there is we don't charge a dime for what we do as a private nonprofit. We rely solely on the generosity of our community, our corporate partners, our board members, and our foundations. But these programs are then spun out in a variety of different ways. How to build a spending plan. So basically personal finance 101, entrepreneurial, home buying. So again, all of the topics that we have gone through in our assessments and our analysis and all of our studies are what is really impacting our military community. And most importantly, once we base this in behavioral economics, we work with our partners to make sure we do not duplicate efforts. There is nothing worse than as a military personnel going to see somebody and having your budget, quote unquote, already be done. We don't even do budgets anymore. We want you to bring your budget with you, and then we deep dive and analyze. So behavioral economics is we find out who you are as a person, where you grew up, and we take that information and we say, here's a generalized statement. 90% of the time, we can pretty much nail it, but there's always that kind of variable and misnomer. So for us, it's really about getting to understand it, which is why everything we do is customized. And one of the first things we do is we ask a question, and I'll ask you gentlemen this. If you were going to go from San Diego to New York City in a car, what's the first thing you would do?
Make sure the car's in order.
What's the second thing you would do?
Who's going with me?
What's the third thing you would do?
Check the distance and the route.
What's the fourth thing you would do?
Get gas.
All right. If you put all those things together, what's it called?
A plan.
A plan. There you go.
We're three smart guys.
You have to make a plan in finances because finances change. By the time I sat in this studio to right now, the market's changed. There's things coming down the pike that were introduced. Finance changes like the wind. And the thing is if you don't have the time and energy like we do to stay in front of all these changing platforms, come and talk to us. Because at the end of the day, free information, and that they say knowledge is power, or what they say in G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle.
Yeah.
Well, know half the battle and then you can go do the other half. But really, it's designed for you to kind of understand where you are to where you want to be and do it the way you want to do it. So we don't tell you what to do. We provide recommendations and resources and then you go ahead and do it. And then we are there to help guide you on the way. We're your financial GPS, so to speak.
I still have not met someone in my life that said, where I am today, I predicted this 5 years ago.
Nope.
I mean, we can certainly make a plan, but a five-year chunk, it's impossible. There are so many factors, and we're in the information age now, but there are so many factors that are happening that dictate our decisions, and we can have an overarching big goal that says, I'm going to be in this industry. I'm going to do this thing. And that may be true. But to say, yeah, this is where I thought I was going to be sitting. No one. I've asked a question several times. I've not met someone that said in the last 5 to 7 years, yep, that's exactly where I thought.
We work in 90-day chunks.
Yep.
We want you to focus instead of what's right in front of you, focus on what's coming up. In the military, if you're transitioning out, you know you're 6, 9, 12 months from EAS. So let's focus on these next 90 days, these next 90 days, these next 90 days. And it's like a puzzle. You know, you can't build the puzzle without starting at the thing. And there, another great thing I ask people when you're working on personal finance is if I asked you guys to do 1,000 pushups, you tell me to go out in the hall and jump off the building. I'd say you could do 1,000 pushups because today you'll do one and tomorrow you'll do two. And that's the thing about personal finance and about financial literacy. People just assume they have to go from 0 to 100 like that. It is a process. And if you are willing and you're committed to the process of education and identifying where your weaknesses are and understanding through behavioral economics how you can really change and how you can take the education and counseling, apply resources, get the coaching you need to facilitate a behavior change, whether that's saving, whether that's stop using your credit cards, whether that's investing, then you're developing your self-sufficiency model because your self-sufficiency is different than mine, which is why personal finance is not something you can just give a book and say, here, go ahead and do it. You know, there's a lot of people out there, Mr. Ramsey, Mrs. Orman, they're good at what they do, but that's a plug and play model. Personal finance is called personal finance for a reason because it's personal. You can't give somebody a book and say, well, you're fixed.
Yep.
I love the fact that you're getting into behavioral economics.
Yes.
Because all of us have a story around money, how we relate to money that comes from our upbringing. How did our parents handle money? what was the neighborhood we lived in, what was the school we went to, the kids we hung out with, the church we attend, all of that shapes our view of money. And until you actually really have that self-awareness mm-hmm. and your true accurate belief and view of money, you can't put actions into place.
Right.
You can't really put pen to paper.
And most importantly, as you said earlier, you have to make a mistake to really learn from it.
Sure.
We're not everybody's a trust fund kid who has just money falling out of every orifice. Most of us have to be very jurisprudent about how we spend money and save money and make money. So for us, it's about, you know, identifying, okay, you want to do this. And as Jared said, we're not putting 5 years together. What are you going to do in the next 90 days?
Right.
What are you going to do in the next week? What are you going to do in the next hour? How are we going to change your life starting right now when it comes to finances? Because the idea is we want people to stop asking whether they're going to pay the light bill or the car bill or the credit card bill or the rent. And they're going to start asking themselves, where are they going on vacation next year? That's the plan.
Brad, thank you so much for enlightening us a little bit, for giving us the ability to stop for a second, reflect, and remember that we're in this game together, but there's one person that's in control. It's you. You can only control you, and you can only control your decisions that you're making. And it's very difficult to do that on a super long-term trip without a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make that plan. Let's dig in. Visit the website. I think that's probably the best thing to do. You guys have a great website to understand where you are. San Diego Financial Literacy Center, sdflc.org. Leave us with some final thoughts.
Well, as an organization, we're here to serve. And that's really what we do. We wake up every single day, and if we can change the way one person thinks about money, then we're really doing our job. We're always looking for talented volunteers. As a nonprofit, we're always looking for donors. We run very lean, have a small and agile team, and we're here to help. We serve about 25,000 people a year, mostly volunteer-based, and we give away money to our military personnel that have faced financial hardships. I encourage you to learn about the organization. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can get involved. There's no wrong door at the Financial Literacy Center. And if you have any questions for yourself, every time you call, it's confidential. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to our education team, and we'd love to hear from you.
Well, information on our website as well, sdriseup.com. Thank you for listening. As always, we encourage you to rise up.